Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Kuf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find seven lines from the top of Daf Kuf Dalid. Before we begin the Mishnah, we glance at the side under our topic heading, where we've written Chalitza Balayla, Machloikis Tanoim. Can Chalitza be done at night? This will be a machlokes tanaim, a controversy between different Tanaic authorities. Our Mishnah. Chaltza b'layla, chalitza sakshera. If chalitza were done at night, according to the Tanakama, the first opinion, that's acceptable. It's valid. Verebi Elozar posel. He says it's unacceptable. Bismoil chalitza sapsula. Removal of the shoe from the brother-in-law's left foot is invalid. Reb Elozar machshir. And here you see a switch in terms of opinions of the Tanakama and Reb Elozar, whereas in the first issue concerning nighttime, the Tanakama was mekil, and regarding left, you see the Tanakama is machmir. Lema beho komifli. Can we suggest that the machlokis regarding nighttime is in the following? The more sovar makshinon rivim linegoyim, that we compare the approach taken to rivim. Rivim translated would mean arguments, controversies, is to be compared to negoyim, to rules that govern tzoraas. The pasuk in fact says kol riv v'chol nega, and we know that negoyim, skin afflictions, etc. There's skin afflictions, there's fabric affliction, and there's house affliction. We know that the matter is viewed, is dealt with in order to determine whether a discoloration is truly a sign of Tzaras through a Kohen viewing the discoloration by day. The Pasuk says, and Rashi quotes it, Uvayom Heira'ois Boy. That means by day, daytime. So if we suggest that we, or if we do compare Rivim to Negoyim, then I'm going to be telling you that Rivim, matters of controversy, of din, money matters, court cases involving monetary issues, that's rivim, also is limited to day. Now, Rashi adds that chalitza comes into the realm of din because there's an issue of collecting the ksuba, the financial guarantees due to a woman when she becomes a widow. So the issue of ksuba is connected to the issue of chalitza, which is in the realm of rivim. Court cases involving monetary matters. So Reb Elozar would seem, who says that chalitza at night is invalid, it's because he applies to rivim, which includes chalitza, the standard that we apply to negoyim. Umo Savar, the Tanakama, who says nighttime chalitza is okay, lo makshinon rivim linegoyim, he doesn't make that comparison. The Gemara's response to this suggestion is lo. That's not the point of controversy. The Kuli Alma lo makshinon rivim linegoyim. Everyone will agree that we don't compare rivim to negoyim. De'i makshinon, if we were to compare, then afilu gemar din balaylo nami lo. Then even the end of a court case involving monetary matters, which we called rivim, would not be able to take place at night. And that's not the case. We know that the starting of cases is in fact done by day, but the conclusion of monetary matters can take place at night. So that you see that there is the topic of Rivim is not really compared to Negoyim. Negoyim, there's no aspect of Negoyim, of viewing Negoyim, that can take place at night. Whereas in the case of monetary matters, the Gemar Din, the final ruling, the conclusion of the case, as long as it's started by day, can take place at night. So if that's not the point of controversy, then what is? V'hocha b'ho komifiki. The following will be their point of controversy. Mor sovar chalitza ketchilas din damya. Rebbe Lozer, who requires daytime, he views chalitza as the beginning of the case. Umor sovar chalitza kigmar din damya. The Tanakama, who accepts nighttime, is viewing chalitza as the conclusion of the din. And we mentioned before that conclusion of cases can take place at night. Rabo Barchio Katisfo Ovad Uvdo Bemok Ubiyachidi Ubalailo. 3 points that are worth noting, and that is that Rabo did a chalitza using a mok. Now the mok is a type of foot gear, but it's not leather. We have seen mok referred to in our previous shiurim. Also biyachidi. That means that he was the only one that was present when the chalitza was done, and he did it at night. Omar Shmuel, kama Rav Guvre de'ovid ki yechida. Rav Guvre literally means how great a man he is. But in this context, Rashi says, Shmuel is saying this sarcastically. How great does he think he is that he can rule? And he can paskin, he can rule according to the opinion of a minority opinion. A yechidah means a singular authority. In other words, when we deal with the rules of psak halacha, of how to render halachic decisions, when you have a point of controversy between a majority versus a minority opinion, usually we would accept the majority opinion. And here you have Rabbah Barchia behaving, we'll say, out of line, where he's practicing a case, or he's ruling a case of chalitza in accordance with a shitas yochid. The Gemara now asks about regarding Shmuel, my kashya, what's bothering Shmuel? Imok, if it's that Rabbah Barchia allowed a mok to be the type of footwear removed from the brother's foot, stamo tanya, we have a stam tanaic source that accepts a mok. So and we know that a stam, an unnamed tanaic source, is considered authoritative. So he has on what to base himself, a rather authoritative source. Eli law, if the fact that he did the chalitza at night, again, stam o tanya, our Mishnah mentions it as being acceptable without any name attached to that opinion. We referred to him before as the Tanakama. So that's called a stam opinion. A stam, an unnamed opinion, is considered authoritative. So what was bothering Shmuel in Rabo Barchio's behavior? Elo yechidi kokashio lei. Hechi ovid biyechidi. The issue is that he did the chalitza by himself, and how can you accept a minority opinion and act thusly? The yechidah katoni law. How can you practice a case of chalitza, can you oversee a case of chalitza by yourself when that is accepted only by a minority opinion, by an individual opinion? We'll see later that's Rabbi Akiva. Disnan, Cholza b'shnayim o b'shlosha v'nimtza echad mehem krov apostle, chalitza sapsula, if the chalitza was done in the presence of two, or in the presence of three, but one of them was found to be unqualified because of this being either a relative or some other type of psul, of disqualify, another disqualifying factor. Chalitzos of psula, so using two people or even three, but one is found to be unqualified, the chalitza is unacceptable, is invalid. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan, Sanlor, Machshirim. These two opinions accept that situation. Umaisa be'echod shecholatz beinoy leveino beveso asurim was an incident where a man did chalitza with a woman in a prison. Ubo maisa lefnei Rabbi Akiva ve'ichshir. And Rabbi Akiva accepted that. So that if you see someone practicing chalitza without three, that would be in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. But that's a shitas yachid, an individual authority. And that is what bothered Shmuel and gave rise to his sarcastic comment of Kama Rav Guvrei regarding Rabba Bar Chiya, who did not require three people present. Second approach regarding this whole area is that all the points of Rabba Bar Chiya were in accordance with individual opinions. Desanya, Om Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Aniro Isi, Es Rabbi Shmuel, Ben Elisha, Shecholatz, Bemok, Biyachidi, Balaila. So that there is precedent for using a mok by yourself at night, but that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, Ben Elisha, not a majority opinion. And hence that gave rise to Shmuel's being upset. B'smoil chalitzasa psula, and Reb Lozer was machshir. Removal of shoe from left foot, according to the Tanakama, is unacceptable. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's okay. My time of the Rabbanon. Why do the Rabbanon rule stringently regarding left foot? Omar Ula. Yalfinon regel regel mimetzora. Through a gezeira shava word comparison, we learn from Mitzorah, from the purification of the Mitzorah, when the Mitzorah, who was in a state of defilement, leaves that state, so there is a certain ritual that applies, and that involves the application of oil and blood of a guilt offering, an Osham sacrifice, and it's done to his right foot. So that the exclusion of smoil of left foot in the case of chalitza is derived, according to the Rabbanan, who are strict, is derived from a word comparison, regel, whose origin is in Mitzorah. Ma lahalon diyamin, just like by the Mitzorah, where we require the right part, the right appendage, Af kan so to bechalitza diamin, the right foot. The Gemara asks, for Rebbe Lozer lo yolif regel mitzora, does Rebbe Lozer, who is lenient, does he not learn a word comparison from mitzora v'atanya? We have a source, Rebbe Lozer Omer. Here is Rebbe Lozer featured in this Tanaic source. Minayin l'ritzia shehi ba'oizinai monis. From where do we know that ritzia? Ritzia is the act whereby a Jewish slave wants to remain by his owner beyond the basic 6 years. So ear is bored, and we say that, and that's called ritzia shehiba oizin hayimonis. How do you know that it's done in his right ear? Ne'mar kan oizin v'ne'mar la'alon oizin. You find in the case of the slave the word oizin, in the case of Saras, you see the word oizen. Ma lahalon yamin, just like by Mitzorah, it's the right ear, it's the right earlobe on which the applications are made for the Taras and Mitzorah. Af kan yamin. So too, here, by Ritzia, it shall be the right. The right ear for the Ritzia. So what do we see? We see Rabbi Lozer does learn word comparisons from Mitzorah. So then why Why is Rabbi Elazar accepting of chalitza b'smol when you have a regel word comparison from Mitzrayim that would exclude the left side, like the left foot? Omar Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef, Omar Rav Yochanan, Muchleches Hashita. What we have to do is we have to switch around the shitas, and by switching them around, then things will become aligned. So that if you were to say you switch around the Tanakhama with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar then would tell you that the left side is unacceptable because we learn from Mitzora. And that once you switch around Rabbi Elazar holding by left as being restrictive, then that fits in with this source where Rabbi Elazar in fact learns other halachas from Mitzora. A second approach, Rova Omar Li'olam Lo Tepuch, don't switch shitas around. Oizen oizen mufni, regel regel lo mufni. When it comes to the issue of the ear of the slave to be born, and you have to determine which one it is, so that's mufni. Mufni means the words are available for making the gzera shava. Mufni, there are, but in technically speaking, there are extra words that enable me to make this gzera shava. Regel regel lo mufni. However, the words regel that you find by mitzora and that you find by the chalitza, so the words are not available. The Gemara asks, "V'chi lo mufni, my pircha ika." Granted, they're not available for making the gzera shava. And according to the rules of gzera shava making, when the word is not extra or it's not free, so then we're entitled to raise questions in objecting to the gzera shava. So granted, regel regel is not free. And as a result of that, Rabbi Elazar, though he accepts the idea of comparing things to the Mitzora, not in the case of the regel, and hence regel smol will be kosher according to Rabbi Elazar. So as a result of it not being extra, you have questions to raise, and because of the questions, we're not going to make the gzera shava. The chilo mufni mai pircha'iko, the Gemara says, granted it's not extra, the words aren't extra, they're needed for their immediate context. But what challenge could you raise anyway to the word comparison? So he says, Iko lemifrach, I have a challenge, I can undo the comparison as follows. Ma lemitzora shekenton eitz erez v'ezo v'shni taloas. By the Mitzora, I understand there's a restriction to the right foot because Mitzora has extra requirements. The requirements, added requirements, in effect, could be considered extra restrictions, extra limitations. You can't do just whatever you want. By Mitzora, you have to provide these other materials for his purification. The Eitz Erez is a type of wood. The Ezov is a type of a branch of some other type of growth. And Shni Tolas, a piece of wool that's dyed in this kind of dye. And we refer to that as the Shni Tolas. So because of that, by Mitzora, you have the right being required. But in the case of chalitza, we don't have additional elements and factors that play a role. All you need is the shoe. So being that chalitza is not as encumbered with additional items, so the chalitza could very well be, as Rabbi Elazar says, be done b'smoil, even though regarding other areas of halacha, Rabbi Elazar does learn gzeros shavas from Mitzora. Before we continue with the next Mishnah, on the side we have an Oseya topic heading where we've written the following. Chalitza, Rekika, and Kriya. These are Gimel, Hamarkivim, Shemitzis, Lisa. Three elements that make up the Chalitza process, or Chalitza ritual. There's the shoe removal, there is spitting, and there is the recitation of verses from the Torah. Asa Shnayim Mehem Velo Hashlishis. If one were to do two and not all three, Haim hikshera obsula. Is it considered an effective chalitza or invalid? Now, we said you did two out of the three, but which two? So the Mishnah goes through different combinations, different possibilities. Number one, cholsa v'rokaka v'lo kara. If the shoe was removed and spitting took place, but the required psukim were not recited, chalitza sikshera, the chalitza is acceptable. Kara v'rokaka avolo cholsa, if there was a citation of the psukim and there was spitting, but there was no shoe removal, chalitza sapsula, that's an invalid chalitza. Number three, cholsa v'kara, she removed the shoe from the brother-in-law's foot, and there was the necessary reading of the parshia of the psukim, avolo rokika, there was no spitting. Now, what about this? So here you have a machlokas. Rabbi Elazar Omer chalitza sapsula, he says that it's ineffective, that spitting is an essential, an integral part of the chalitza ritual. And Rabbi Kiv Omer chalitza sakshera, that you can manage, so to speak, without the spitting. Of course, we're not telling you l'chatchila to do away with it, but if that's what happened, so it's still acceptable. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Omar Lei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, who was insistent on the spitting, he says, Kocho Ye'aseh. That's in the psukim that deal with the chalitza. And we learn from Kocho Ye'aseh, Kol Dover Shu Maise Ma'akev. The word Kocho is a word indicating something restrictive or a binding factor. So that from this we learn anything that is action related, as opposed to reading a psukim, the reading of something is not called an action. But spitting, for example, shoe removal as well, are actions. So all action matters are me'akev, as the word kocha expresses itself. Omer Lei Rabbi Akiva, Mishom Raya, Rabbi Akiva says, are bringing proof from there. Kocha ye'aseh lo'ish. Read the whole pasuk, read the three words together, and you have the following. Kol dovar shu maise bo'ish. Anything that is an action that is done to the man, that is what is binding. So chalitza is a maise bo'ish. The woman removes the shoe from his foot, that's from his body. So that's what is restrictive, that's what's binding. Kocho ye'aseh, don't miss the next word, lo'ish. So things that are done to the body, maisim, in the body of the man, that's binding. Now that's in contrast to the spitting, which Rabbi Akiva said, if there's no spitting, the chalitza is kosher, because contrary to what some people might have as an image here, she doesn't spit into his face. The spit lands on the floor in front of him, but not touching him. So it's not a maisa be'ish. The Mishnah goes on, ha'cheresh shenechlatz v'ha'chareshes shecholza. A cheresh, that's a deaf mute, whose shoe is removed from him, and a chareshes, a deaf mute woman who does the chalitza, the chalitzas lekotin, chalitza sapsula. The chalitza, the shoe removal from a surviving brother that happens to be a minor, that would be an unacceptable chalitza. Ketana shecholza, tachlos mishetagdil, a girl who is a minor who did the chalitza, she should do it again when she becomes an adult. Vimlo cholza, chalitzasa psula, and if she doesn't do so her chalitza is invalid. Cholza bishnayim o bishlosha v'nimsecha mikorov apostle. If a person did chalitza in the presence of two kosher dayonim, or in the presence of three, but one was later found to be unacceptable. No, he was either found to be a relative or someone who is in general unacceptable because of poor behavior. Chalitzasa psula. So according to the Tanakhama here, chalitza done in front of two or in front of three, but one is found to be disqualified, that's an insufficient chalitza. It's an unacceptable chalitza. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan, Asan, Rabbi Machshirin, they say it's okay. Umaisa bechot shecholatz beino leveino beveso asurim was an incident where a brother-in-law and sister-in-law were in the penitentiary together, and he removed her shoe, and they were by themselves. This incident, this story came to the attention of Rabbi Akiva and said, it's okay. Before we continue with the Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have our Nosei Mivneh Henning. Notice that we have triangles and Roman numerals 1 and 2. These represent Shnei Lishonos Shel Rava, two versions of Rava, Beinyin Ilem V'Ilemes Shecholtzu. And Ilem is a mute. They have the ability to hear, but they cannot speak. And they did Chalitza. A volcano shape will appear, and that's Havlotas Havdeu Bein Shnei HaLishonos. We're attempting to highlight the distinction between the two versions. According to version 1, Kriya Lo Ma'akva, the recitation of the psukim, are not a binding factor with regard to the validity or the validation of the chalitza. According to Lashon number 2, you will see that Kriya is Ma'akev. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rava, Hashto di Amris, Kriya lo Ma'akva. Now that you've said, and that is the case if you look at the first line of the Mishnah, that's the lower part of Omid Aleph, the Mishnah had opened up by saying, so we're in effect telling you that Kriya is not Ma'akev. The recitation of the psukim that are recited in the context of the Chalitza ceremony, if it's not done, so it's not a binding factor. Well, with that in mind, Lefikach, Ilein Vilema Shecholtzu, Chalitza Son Ksheira. If you have a mute man or woman that did chalitza, the chalitza is okay. That's Rava's conclusion. Tanan. Now, we present a Tanaic source. Chereish shenechlatz v'chareishes shecholtza v'hacholetzis min hakotan chalitzasan chalitzasa psula. A chereish is a deaf mute. And this, of course, we saw in the Mishnah itself, four lines from the top. A deaf mute that man or woman that are participatory in the chalitza, and chalitza from a minor, where the brother-in-law is a minor, so that is an unacceptable chalitza. My time. Why is it that if it's a deaf mute are participatory in the chalitza, is it no good? Lav mishum de lav b'nei kriya ninu. Isn't it because they are incapable of reading the psukim? So from here you see that the reading is a binding factor. Lo, that's not the problem of the chereish and the chareishes. Rather, mishum de lav b'nei Deo ninhu. It's because they lack awareness. They lack sufficient das. Das is knowledge or awareness of what's going on. Well, ihochi ilaim vilemes nami. Well, we should disqualify an ilaim vilemes as well. Omar Rava ilaim vilemes b'nei Deo ninhu. They are different from the chereish. The Ilem and Ilemis are people of sound mind. Upumayu udekoyiv lehu. It's a figure of speech, but it's translated means it's simply that their mouths hurt them. Their mouths are disabled. Their ability of speech has been disabled, but that does not reflect on their level of da'as, of knowledge, of awareness that's required for chalitza to be valid. The Gemara asks, V'ho Amri Debei Rebbe Yanai, Lefi She'eno Be'omar V'omra, but in the Yeshiva of Yanai, the Cheresh and Chareshis are disqualified as a result of their inability to say the psukim that the Torah expects of them. So, what about Rava? So you see that Rava's conclusion that Kriya is not Ma'akev is seemingly inaccurate. Elo ki itmar de Rava asefa itmar. If Rava had said anything, his comment was on the seifa, the seifa of the Mishnah. Cheresh shenechlatz v'chareshes shecholza v'chaletzis min hakotan chalitzos apsula. The very quote that we had before. Omar Rava, Hashta de Amris Kriya Ma'akva, notice the difference. Now that we have concluded that Kriya is Ma'akev, Lafikach Ilaim Vilemes Shecholzu Chalitzosa Psula. Therefore, an Ilaim or Ilemes that do Chalitza, their Chalitza is invalid. They cannot read the Psukim that are necessary. Umas Nisan. What about our Mishnah? The opening of the Mishnah indicated that Kriya is not Ma'akev. Well, the understanding is as follows. Karebi Zera. The Mishnah spoke about a chalitza ceremony where the shoe was removed, spitting took place, but the reading wasn't done. Still, the Mishnah says it's kosher, it's acceptable. Why? Based on Rabbi Zera's principle. Yom Rabbi Zera. Kol ha-roi le-bila, ein bila ma'keves boi. V'chol she'ein roi le-bila, bila ma'keves. Before we attempt to translate that, let's express the principle of Rabbi Zera. The principle of Rabbi Zera is as follows. Where something can be done in the potential, where it can be actualized, but for whatever reason it wasn't, but the potential is there for it to be actualized. So if that's the case, you don't have to actualize it. You don't have to bring it to reality, because the reality or the possibility of whatever it is could be done. So if you have, let's say, two healthy people, the Yavam and the Yavama, are two healthy people quite capable of speech, and they're, of course, of sound mind. They could read, but if they did the chalitz without the reading, it's kosher, it's acceptable. Why? Because in potential they could have read. However, if you have a situation where the potential cannot be realized, so then that element that is necessary becomes a binding factor. And therefore, the case of the Elam and Elemis, since they can't in potential read, the reading now becomes a binding factor. And since the reading doesn't take place, the chalitza is puzzle, is invalid. Rabbi Zera himself was referring to a specific case that deals with the halachas of meal offerings. Truth is I would prefer not to get too sidetracked, but in respect to the translation, kol haroi lebila, a meal offering is made of flour, and many meal offerings have oil that accompany them, and there is a minimum amount of flour that's required for meal offerings, but in many cases you can increase the amount of flour that you bring, but you are maintaining the same initial amount of oil. What is important is that if you mix the flour with the oil, all of the flour would come into contact with some of the oil. If, however, you have more than the maximum amount of flour, so much so that the amount of oil that is mandated for a mincha would be too little to come into contact with all of that flour. So a situation like that would be an unacceptable mincha. The ratio is too great between the oil and the flour. So what Rebbe Zera says is as follows. If you have a mincha that in potential, it's roi labila, the potential for mixing it and having a uniform distribution of the oil coming into contact with all of the flour, then ein bilo makevus. You don't have to actually mix it together. However, v'chol she'ein roi labila, if the amount of flour is too great, is too much for with respect to the mandated amount of oil, and if you were to mix it, some parts of it would remain dry because of the great quantity of flour that's there. So then we say bilo makevus, the need for mixing it becomes a binding factor, and since it won't mix evenly, it will be unacceptable. That is by way of background for his principle, but in our case, the principle itself is, as we said, if something, if an action or an element is possible in theory, then you don't have to actualize it. But if it's not possible in theory, then that element becomes a binding factor. We continue with a new marking, and on the side of the under the Nosei Mivneh heading, you'll notice a bow tie, and there's also letters Aleph and Beis. These are Shnei Lishonos Beinyan Yevoma Sherokika Befnei Beisdin Lefnei Chalitza Sanal. A Yevoma that spits in court before the shoe is removed. The proper order is first the shoe is removed, and then the spitting takes place. But she spit first in the court before their shoe removal. So, Aleph, nifsala la'achin. That will result in her inability to marry any of the brothers. So even though the shoe wasn't removed, the spitting cancels her ability to go ahead with a marriage to one of the brothers. We're not saying that that enables her to marry someone else, someone from the shuk, to be matir her to the public, but it does accomplish this much that she's now unfit to marry one of the brothers. The second lashon will tell us that spitting that was done out of order is einot sricha loruk pam nosefa. She doesn't have to spit a second time, so that according to that, she spit before the shoe removal, then removes the shoe and doesn't spit again. Now we turn to the Gemara. Sholchu le avua de Shmuel. It was sent to avua Shmuel. Yevoma sherokika, a yevoma, the widow that spit in front of the court in the context of a chalitza ceremony. Tachlots, she has to go through with the shoe removal. That Rashi explains, she has become posel to do yibum. So once she spit, she now has to go ahead with the shoe removal. Michlal, the ifsala lo meachin. From this we infer that the spitting causes her to become disqualified from marrying any of the surviving brothers. Moni, who would be the author of this idea? Now you can see the double underline appears. These are stages in trying to figure out who is the author of this idea. In Lema, Rabbi Akiva, Hashta, Uma b'mokim mitzvah, De'ika l'meimar, Nidi dehavi a'imurim, a Mokel Mitzvah is a reference to the time of Chalitza. At the time of Chalitza, where Rekika is a mitzvah, and there is reason, or there is logic to compare this situation where you have two elements. You have a shoe removal and you have a spitting. And there's another area of halacha where we have two elements. And that's the issue of emurim. De'ikol ameimar midi davi a'imurim. Emurim are the innards of a sacrifice. In order for a sacrifice to be acceptable, you have to, and able to eat the meat, you have to sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice, and the innards have to be offered on the Mizbeach. However, with regard to the innards, the standard is different than the standard with regard to the blood. The blood, if it's not sprinkled, or let's say the blood gets lost, then everything stops there. The sacrifice is invalid. With regard to the innards, the following is the case. Dechilesnehu lo ma'akvi. If they're not around, if they got lost, so they're not binding. The meat can be eaten, the sacrificial meat can be eaten, as long as the blood was sprinkled. Vechi isnehu ma'akvi. But when they are around, when the innards of a sacrifice are around, you must offer them before you can eat the meat. And even so, Omar Rabbi Akiva lo ma'akva. Again, this is a reference back to the spitting by the Yavama. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that the spitting is not a binding factor. Me'achin ifsala. Would you say, according to Rabbi Akiva, that the spitting that she does do would render her unfit? In the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, the spitting is a very minor element, so that where you see, let's say, in contrast to the issue of the sacrifice and the emurim, where in the case of the emurim, if something is there, it's binding, namely, if the emurim are there, it's binding upon the eating of the sacrificial meat, the spitting is not me'akev, it's not binding. So, how in the world would Rabbi Akiva ever be the one to say that the spitting, if done, would render her unfit to the brothers? Let's take a look at the Rashi. A'imurim, the chi'isnu ma'akvi bosu me'achila, perek tomid nishchat, it's in Maseches Psochim. It is taught that if the emurim, the innards of the sacrifice, are present, the innards are those organs or sections of an animal that are put onto the fire of the altar, those portions of the sacrifice of the animal that are put on the altar. V'chilesnehu lo ma'akvi. If they're not around, they're not a binding factor. Go shenitmu or she'avdu. They became defiled or they got lost. V'hochanami nemo. Afagav the lav maise choshuv beish hu, even though it's not considered a maise beish, as we saw earlier. Hoyo the efsher loruk laakev, since it's something that is possible to be done. In other words, what Rashi is saying is that according to the standard that says, if it's not a maise in the man, like the shoe, you're removing the shoe from his foot, that's the maisa b'ish, that's what's binding. But if it's something like spitting, it's not a maisa b'ish, and therefore it's not binding. However, if it's around, it should be binding, like be'emurim. V'kom Rabbi Akiva lo makfa, and Rabbi Akiva says, even so, even though the spitting, she's there, she could spit. Well, according to Rabbi Akiva, if she doesn't, it's not binding. So that in the eyes of Rabbi Akiva, the spitting is on a very low level of insignificance. And as a result of that, it's on a lower level of significance in the context of Yibum more so than, it's a lower level than Emurim are in the context of sacrifices. So how can Rabbi Akiva be the one to say that if she does spit, it would have the effect of rendering her unfit to do Yibum with the brothers? So was sent to Avud Shmuel, that Yevama Shirokiko has to do Chalitza because she's rendered unfit to continue with Yibum, that can't be Rabbi Akiva's opinion. V'yelo l'Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, he said in the Mishnah that the Rikika is a binding factor. The Gemara continues. V'ha shnei dvarim hamatirin ninhu u'shnei dvarim hamatirin ein ma'alin ze b'lo ze. This is a principle that you find in other areas of sacrifices. Two elements that are needed to enable something to become mutar. And if one is there without the other, ein ma'alin ze b'lo ze, there one is ineffective without the other. So therefore, rakika alone, spitting alone, couldn't render her unfit to do yibum. Elo kerebi, that which was sent to Avu Dishmuel, that a Yavoma who spits in the presence of Beis Din renders her unfit. It has a consequence. It renders her unfit to yibum. This would be in accordance with Rebbe. Desanya. We have a Tanaic source that deals with a sheep offering that's offered on the holiday of Shavuos. They're called Kivsei Atzeres. As a result of the offering of the Kivsei Atzeres, the Shtei Halechem, another offering that accompanies them, two loaves. The two loaves that are brought on Shavuos, along with the Kivsei Atzeres, they will become sanctified. So that's by way of general background. Now, what does the source say? And of course, we're going to be interested in seeing Shitas Rebbe, the opinion of Rebbe, as we go on. Kivsei Atzeres. Ein mekatshim halechem elo b'shchita. The Kivsei Atzeres are not able to sanctify the bread. To sanctify the bread means that the bread would then be elevated to something we call Kedushas HaGuf. It's an inherent level of sanctity which, when present, the item can no longer be redeemed, where the holiness is transferred onto money. So the Kivsei Atzeres do not elevate the lechem, the shtei lechem, the two loaves, to this level of Kedushas HaGuf, other than through their slaughtering. Ketzad. So, shochton lishmon v'zorak domon lishmon. If the slaughtering was done with proper intention and the sprinkling of the blood was done with proper intention, kidei shalechem, then the lechem becomes sanctified. Shochat shelo lishmon v'zorak lishmon. If the shechita was done with an improper intention, but the sprinkling of the blood was done with proper intention, lo kidei shalechem, the bread is not sanctified. Shochton lishmon v'zorak domon shelo lishmon, where the slaughtering was done properly, the zrikas adam, the sprinkling of blood, was done with an improper mindset. Kadosh v'eino kadosh, divrei Rebbe. Kadosh v'eino kadosh means there's some level of sanctification, but not complete. That's Rebbe's opinion. What do we see from here? We see that true sanctity of Kedushas HaGuf is achieved when both elements are done properly. Where just one was done properly, and here we're focusing on the Shechita was done properly, the Shechita alone has an effect. So too the Rakika alone has an effect to render her possible to marry the brothers. To disqualify her from continuing with Yibum with them. Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon Omer lo'olam eino kadosh ad sheyishchot lishmon v'yizrok domon lishmon. No sanctity is achieved until both are done with proper intention. So with that in mind, you can see that the statement that was made to, or was told to Avud Ishmael, would be based on the thinking of Rebbe. Now we turn our attention back to Rebbe Akiva. We have a little arrow here, if you want to align this with the arrow above. Above, we have a line where Rebbe Akiva said that the Rekika could not possibly result in her being posel to the brothers. And now we ask, now this question lasts a number of lines. Ula Rebbe Akiva, Rekika lo posla, and according to Rebbe Akiva, is that really so that spitting does not render her unfit to continue with Yibum? On the side, we have a nosei mivneh, a topic heading with a structural note. Diamonds will appear. Nasa rak pu'ulo achas mito hashlosha. In the Mishnah, by the way, we saw where two of the three actions had been done. Here, we're going to mention where one of the chalitza activities were done. One of the three. Diyun b'shitas Rabbi Akiva Lagabi Yavoma Shirokika Bilvad. We're going to be focusing on what does Rabbi Akiva have to say about a Yavoma that does the spitting alone. Just the spitting. So now, is it so then, as we suggested before, that according to Rabbi Akiva, Rekika would not render her unfit for Hatanya? We have the following source. The diamonds, as we said, highlight the one activity that was done. Chaltza, shoe removal took place. Veloi, rokika, velo kora. No spinning, no reading of psukim. Chalitza sukshera. That's an effective chalitza. It's effective. Rokika, velo chaltza, velo kora. Chalitza sapsula. Spinning took place, but not shoe removal nor reading of psukim. That's an invalid chalitza. Kora v'lo rokika v'lo chaltza ain't kan beis michush. If there was only reading and no spitting, no shoe removal, then there's nothing to even suspect. It's like nothing happened. And as a result of that, Rashi adds, she could even do yibum. Money. Who would be the author of this source? And again, you can see the double underlining we're using in order to highlight the stages of analysis. If you were to associate this source with Rabbi Eliezer, well, how could it be? It said in this source, Chaltza, v'lo rokika v'lo kora chalitza sekshera. Shoe removal took place, but no spitting and no reading. It's kosher. V'ho amar Rabbi Eliezer, kocho yeoseh, kol dover shumaisim akev. Rabbi Eliezer said that anything that's action-related, as opposed to the reading, which is not called an action, anything that's action-related, which includes spitting, is me'akev. So that that can't, the source that said chaltza without rokika could not be authored by Rabbi Eliezer. Elapshita Rabbi Akiva. Vikotani. So we have a source above that we're going to ascribe to Rabbi Akiva. Vikotani, it said here, Rokika velo chaltza velo kora chalitza sapsula. She spit, but there was no shoe removal nor reading. It's called an invalid chalitza. Psula. Leman. She is called unfit. Unfit to whom? Ilema li alma. If the source is trying to tell me that she is unfit to marry is into the public, you know, she's free to marry, pshita, mi havya chalitza dishtar b'alma, that's obvious, there wasn't any shoe removal. The shoe removal is the element that will release her from the bond and enable her to marry. That didn't take place. It said lo chaltza. So when you say she's psula, she's disqualified. Disqualified from what? From marrying into the public? That's obvious. Elolav la'achim. Psula means she's disqualified to the brothers. Shma mina. So this shows us, according to Rabbi Akiva, that if you have Rokaka alone, she is rendered unfit to the brothers. So that you have to, at this point, take stock of the Gemara before, where we seem to reject out of hand the statement made to Avud Ishmael that Rokaka would render her unfit, where the Gemara before had said it couldn't be Rabbi Akiva. Here we're saying that in fact it could be like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara continues with a question: Rabbi Akiva, Maishno Rikika, Umaishno Kriya. What is the difference between Rikika, which has the effect of rendering her unfit, as opposed to Kriya, which in that same source which we're ascribing to Rabbi Akiva says Ein Kam Beis Michlush, means nothing whatsoever was accomplished, and she's kosher, she's acceptable even to do Yibum, where it doesn't passel her? The Gemara answers, Kriya De'isa Bein Betchila Bein Besof. The reading of Psukim takes place at the beginning of the ceremony and at the end of the ceremony. Loi michlefa lei. One would not come to any confusion. We're going to explain this a little bit later before, and let's finish just another phrase or two, and then we'll look at the Rashi. So Kriya is different than Rikika. Kriya is done at the beginning and at the end. So as a result of that, we won't reach a point of confusion and mistake. Rikika, however, when it comes to spitting, the betchila lesa ulubesof isa, Rikika is done only at the end. It's not done at the beginning. Michlefa lei v'asu l'mishri chalutza l'achin. If it could result in confusion, and we could end up being matir, a woman that did chalitza to the brothers, which of course is a major avera, a major sin. If we, with regard to Rikika, if we would allow her after she did Rikika, and if we were to say that she's not posel liachin, if we were to say she can marry one of the brothers, people will think that the Rikika, everyone knows Rikika is done after the shoe removal. So if they see a situation of a woman who did an act of spitting, they automatically calculate in their minds, this followed the shoe removal. And if we allow her to marry one of the brothers, people will think that a woman who did chalitza could marry a brother, can still do yibum. And that, of course, is terribly wrong. With regard to Kriya, though, people aren't going to come to that conclusion. If people hear just Kriya, and they see her then marrying a brother, the brother-in-law, people will say, well, it's because the Kriya that was done was only the Kriya at the beginning. She didn't reach the shoe removal stage yet. So that allowing a woman after Kriya, or having done Kriya alone, and allowing her to marry a brother-in-law, her deceased husband's surviving brother, is not going to lead to people concluding that a chalutza, a woman who did the shoe removal, can marry, because people will think that the reading that took place was the initial reading. With regard to Rikika, there is no initial Rikika. The only Rikika that takes place is the Rikika that's done after the shoe removal. So if people see a spitting that takes place, and as was suggested, maybe she should be mutter to the brothers, that would lead to a major mistake on the part of the public, because people associate the spitting with the shoe removal having taken place. And if they see a woman who did the act of spitting then going ahead and marrying one of the surviving brothers, people will think that even after shoe removal, a woman is still eligible to do yibum, which, as we said before, is a major mistake. Ve'ika the Amri, Hachi Sholchule. Another version has the following that was sent to Avu Dishmuel. Yevama Shirokika Tachloitz Ve'ena Tzricha Loruk Pam Acheres. A Yevama that did the spitting before the shoe removal, we tell her, remove the shoe, and you don't have to do another spitting. Kihahi, even though the proper order of things is to have the spitting done after the shoe removal, but we don't tell her to do that. Kihahi, Yevoma Dasi Lekame de Rebbe Ami. There was an incident where a Yevoma had come to Rebbe Ami. Havi Yosef Rebbe Abba Bar Momo Kamei, and Rebbe Abba was present there, sitting in front of him. Rokika Mekami de Tachlutz, and she spat before the shoe removal. Omar Le Rebbe Ami. Rebbe Ami said, Chalotz La, Fishori La Tigra. Have the shoe removal, and then that will settle the issue. Shori Le Tigra means settle the argument, but Rashi says, Potur Vishalchena Mi Bezdin. That will be sufficient, that she removes the shoe and then send her out, she's free. Omar Le Rabbi Abba V'ho Bo'inon Meirat. But isn't there a spitting requirement? So Rabbi Ami answers, Ha Rokikala. Well, but she already spit. She spit beforehand. So he asks back, V'teirukum Abakach. Let her spit again. What's the big deal? What do you lose by her spitting again? Nofik minei churba. If she spits again, you're creating a possible, major error, something destructive. What do we mean by that? De'i amris tehader v'teruk. If you insist on her doing the rekika again, amri, people will think, Rakika kamaisa les bo mashosha, the osi le mishri chalutza la achin. People will think that the initial chalitza, the initial rakika, that is, the initial spitting, had no significance whatsoever. Meaning, no significance, and she's not even rendered unfit to the brothers, to her brother-in-law. And if she would then go and do yibum, at the end of the day, people will think that a chalutza is mutter to brothers, to marry a brother-in-law. So it's important, says Rabbi Ami, that once Rikika was done, that's it. Don't have it done again. Because as we said, if it's done again, people will think that the first Rikika had no impact whatsoever, and as we explained before, people associate in general rakika with that which took place after the shoe was removed. And if people see her doing a second rakika and then creating in their minds that the first rakika was a zero, people will think that rakika, when done in isolation, has no significance. And as we said before, that the mistake that will arise in people's minds will occur. Let's take a look at Rashi a few lines up from here. Amri, people will say, Rekiko kamay seles bo mashosh. If we ask her to do a second Rekiko, people will say that the initial Rekiko had no substance to it, no halachic substance or halachic application. Velo poslo me'achin. And she's not unfit even to the brothers. Uman dechozi de misyabma, and people who would see her doing yibum, sovar rakika basar chalitza havoi, that this was a rakika after the shoe removal, ki urche, which is the normal order of events, visharinon chalutza laachin. And in effect, people would think that a woman who did chalitza is still muteres to do yibum. So just to go over this last point, the point of Rabbi Ami, once Rikika is done, we don't want to have it done again. Even though it's out of order, we don't want to have it done again, because people will then conclude that the first Rikika is of no significance, and then, well, a woman like that could go and do Yibum. And then people who see that will say that, oh, a Rikika, that's generally something that happened after the shoe was removed, and she's, and this woman was marrying her brother-in-law. It must be that people, chalutzes, are allowed to do Yibum, which of course is a major mistake. The Gemara asks, V'ha bo'ino and kisidron, is there not a necessity of having things done in proper order? Namely, first chalitza and then the spitting? The Gemara says, kisidron lo ma'akva. The issue of things done in order is not a binding factor. Who savar dechuyu komadchile? Rabbi Abba thought that Rabbi Ami was just giving him a push-off answer, not a real answer. Nofak dok viashka. He went out and looked into things carefully and found desanya bein shehiktim chalitza lerikika bein shehiktim rikika lechalitza masha asa asui. Whether chalitza is done before rikika or the rikika is done before the chalitza, namely out of order, what is done. In other words, it's sufficient. It's your yotze that way. Namely, the order is not me'akev. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.